be part of the conversation, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Certainly, that's where you're at, and that's how you can get in touch with us right here, utilizing those particular numbers, +27 73 470 3520, or you can get in touch with us right here in studio on our studio line. That's +27 12 001 7679. Thank you so much once again for joining us. This is The Bible Perspective, and my name is Derek Viriri. Joining us on the line, we've got my two beautiful ladies. We're going to be chatting to them this evening. Let me start, but in age before beauty, I don't know which one goes first. Do we pick the pastor? She's been around longer. Do we pick Rosie? She's fiery and young. Inimini. Let's go with Rosetta. Good evening to you, Rosetta, and welcome to The Bible Perspective. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening, and thank you for having me, and happy Sabbath to everyone else who's listening.
Wonderful stuff. Happy Sabbath to you. Hope the week was a good one.
So-so.
Okay, that's not very convincing, but okay. Thank God it's Sabbath, right? I'm saying thank God it's Sabbath.
Oh, thank God it's Sabbath. Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Indeed. Marvelous stuff. Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much, Rosetta. So that's Rosetta Mpofu joining us this evening. She is going to be the opposition to this idea of dress reform. Let's then also chat to the pastor, Mfundisi. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so happy to be back. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Happy Sabbath to you. Hope your week was good.
Yep. It was a bit rough, but don't we thank God for the Sabbath? Right. Where we can truly rest and think about nothing else other than God's mercies and His grace.
Amen.
But yeah, I must say, it was a bit hectic.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Is that a sin, though? I know we're talking dress, but I thought, you know what? As you were talking, Rosie is also mentioning how this is a tough week. You are also coming like, yo, rough week. Is that how it's supposed to be? Like, yo, Sazakasha, Yazi, thank God for the Sabbath. At least we can hide here from this week. It sounds like something is not right there.
You know what, Brother Viri, when we go through all these things, I think the Sabbath is our comfort, because then at least we get to recharge and not think about those things. You think, you bask in the grace of God. I mean, just last night, I had an end-time dream. It was so scary.
Okay.
We were running away. It was just a mess. Okay. So even that alone just traumatized me, you know. So, yeah.
But maybe you must be happy, Mfundisi, that you're dreaming about the end times. It means surely it must be close.
Yep. It is very close. And you know what's scary for me is that sometimes I'm left behind in my dreams. I'm like, oh, what is it that I need to still fix?
Reverse but and cancel. Okay. You must wake up and say, fire, fire.
Exactly. So I think it's good, because then it's an opportunity for me to look at my journey with God and see where I am faltering and fix it before it's too late. You understand? Because I think the fear of losing heaven and the fear of losing eternal life is actually a real one, because you understand that if you miss this opportunity, there isn't a second chance.
That is true.
We gotta make sure that we are there. We have to make sure there's no second chances. We are already in the mercies and the grace of God as it is right now.
May God help us. We need His mercy to continue. I mean, probation. Now is the time. Now is the hour, right? No second chance beyond this one. Rosie, how does this rush? And do you also feel like, hey, something is not right? I don't think this is what God wants.
You see, that the thing is, I think I grew up at a time where we were, Adventism, well, at least the church that I was going to, was so focused on the end of times. And like, it was hammered into us as kids.
Oh, okay.
That you have to be ready to run for the... And I think I spent most of my childhood preparing to run from the hills.
Oh, so
and the hills just never And now I think I'm in a state where for a time was in a space where I was just complacent and I was okay with not having to prepare to run for the hills to, you know, just relax and breathe. Because I have not gotten a chance to breathe, you know.
You're chilled, Nje. I mean, you're not ready for the hills.
I've just been telling the other youth that, you know what, heaven waits for no one. And it goes within everything. It's a principle, it's a concept to work with. Heaven waits for, you know. So true. I think I'm running with that. I think I'm getting up from my complacency.
Alrighty then. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I was just earlier on, I was talking to one of my colleagues regarding the conversation we're going to be having tonight. And they were saying, if I'm going to have this conversation, I'll get fired because, A, I will not be agreeing with anything that everyone is saying there, you know. And I think as I was chatting earlier on, I was just wanting to bring across to the listeners and the viewers that this is not a discussion of finger point, because usually that's what we discuss dress reform as, right? Finger point. Yeah, you guys are doing this and this is going to take you to hell and so forth, you know. And I love how when the conversation was brought to the table, the idea was to find out what the right thing is and to find out what the better way of doing things is. And so we want to continue with that kind of an approach where it's learning that's the platform. But also as I was also speaking to the listeners earlier on, is the idea of learning should not be the end in itself, the be all end all, right? We just here to learn and move on with life. No. Learning must then result in implication, right? In you putting to practice what you have studied, what you've found out. And I always love this quotation, which Dr. Pipim once put across to say, there's a difference between an honestly mistaken man and a mistaken man, right? And that honesty part is very key. See, and when confronted with the truth, he would put it, an honestly mistaken man either chooses to cease being mistaken as he accepts the truth and walks with it. They're honest, right? So they become, oh, okay, so this is the better way, and then I walk in it. Whereas the other person who is dishonest, when they're confronted with the truth, they choose to prove that they were never honest as they continue in the mistake, right, and discard the truth that has come across. So we're hoping that we are really dealing with honestly mistaken people, if that's the case, or people who are really wanting to find out what God wants from them, and that's the desire of their hearts. And so we're going to be going with that conversation. The part we're touching on tonight, and this is what the introduction is, quite a profound one, and I hope that we will be able to do justice to it, especially in this evening's conversation. You see, in the dress conversation, what role does culture and tradition play in the Christian context, especially in Adventism, right? Could it be that as a people, especially in an African context, in SID region and other African states, we have really taken this dress idea from a Eurocentric perspective, right, from a Western culture perspective, and because that's where the popular word inception came from in terms of missionaries. They came from the West and they wore certain clothes, and they found us wearing certain clothes, which, by the way, we accepted as a norm. Right. And that was everyday use. We never looked at each other and say, hey, when like Adam and Eve in the beginning, it's like you're putting on fig leaves and so forth. No, we were quite okay with what we were wearing. And that was actually quite modest, if you want to even apply that term. But today, it doesn't seem like that's the case. And we want to then address that. But maybe let's start off a bit more softer with that to say, last time we spoke, we started with a good definition of modesty to say, if it's modest, it means it's something that covers the essentials. It's something that is acceptable in the norm. And I think we also kind of agreed that modesty is to some degree fluid in terms of culturally dynamic, right? And each culture and its definition of modest is not generic across the board. And so we want to come to that. And I'm going to give Rosie to start off to say, what would your take be in terms of dress reform in our day and age? Are we coming across as a people who are genuine in terms of who they are and are not just going with the trend? Because if that's the case, then perhaps even the way we dress, you know, what we call modest today, what we call presentable today, might just be going with the trend because we've deviated from a path that is well. Or can you actually separate the two and say, you know, there is modest and there is going with the trend? I don't know what your take is and how would you want to launch us into tonight's conversation?
Personally, I think, let me just start off on the trend issue. Mm-hmm. I think nakedness has been trending for the longest time now. Nakedness has been trending for a very long time and it's ongoing. I don't think that's going to change. But I do, however, feel that as Adventists, sometimes we're a little too extreme when it comes to this. I think there is an extreme search. I think we touched a bit on it last time when we were speaking about that there's the portion of Adventism that's a bit extreme. And then there is, oh, you can't wear prints, you can't wear, you know, all of that. And then there's another portion that's a bit, if I loosely, for lack of a better word, liberated, you know, and do that. But then again, if now we've got two points where it's extreme and there's the non-extreme, now there's a blur on what actually is the correct one, what is the way that it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the Bible doesn't say, oh, Ellen White says it has to hang from the shoulders, right? It shouldn't hang from your waist. But now that's it feels so westernized because she was making reference to her time and the place where she was at. So now you try and figure out, how do you fit in to these two sections, the extremists, the extreme people, and the liberated people? Now, which one? There's a lot of blur where you don't know. So I think that's why we had this conversation, because we're looking at points.
Mm-hmm. Ash, Rosie, your network is cutting off a bit there and we lost some of the conversation you were trying to share. I don't know if you can move around or tell them to switch off devices in the house because you're busy talking some important matters. We don't want to miss out anything that you have to share with us tonight. Mfundisi, you heard what Rosie had to say, presenting it from a perspective of the differences, especially from the extreme perspectives. You know, you have people who are totally not involved or bothered about what to do and what the Bible says or what culture and tradition and the old church has. And then you have the other side, which is like, you know what, the Bible says, but we must go even further than that, you know. And I think maybe I want to start right there as you address Rose's point to say the requirements that are being placed on people, be it male, be it female, in terms of dress. And I want you to speak maybe from the place that you are most comfortable with, which is the Adventist faith, but more, and then maybe even go broader to speak about Christendom as a whole. Those requirements, are they tradition because that's what we've known in our upbringing, or are they biblical? Yeah. I don't know, maybe help us there.
Yes, thank you for that, Brother Viri. Let me start by saying, as a little girl growing up, looking at the pictures of Jesus, mm-hmm. I saw a white Jesus, right? But I saw him wearing a robe.
Okay.
This robe that is wearing. And it came to my mind, and you must remember that time there was no internet or things like that where you could look up things. Mm-hmm. That why is this man wearing a dress? Mm. Why is he wearing it? You see, I'm talking from a perspective of a child, of a little girl who's introduced to a Jesus. Of course, we see he's white, fine. I'll come to that now. But why is he wearing a dress?
Okay.
All right. So it bothered me that thing that, you know, today, in the day that we live in, men, and you must understand, I was not exposed now to other cultures and traditions. It was only here in South Africa, right?
Okay.
Men here wear pants. So why is Jesus, you know, wearing a dress,
you know,
you understand? Yeah. So to me, it bothered me a lot. But then as time went by, I realized that, oh no, it is at the time that he was living in.
Okay.
It was the, that now was we are coming dress. To the culture and the tradition,
mm-hmm.
culture, tradition of his time. his the way they were doing things at that time in the place that they were in. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So it could have been different from in other countries. It could have been different. They were wearing something else, maybe shorter ones, or, you know, something else, or maybe tighter ones, depending on the regions and the times that they were in.
Okay.
So with Jesus, for the place that he was in, he was, let me put it this way, relevant. You get what I'm trying to say? He was okay. In fashion. Let me put it that way. He was in fashion of the day, of the time, okay. And everything that was happening around there. Okay. So even when we are looking even at his lifestyle, his mm-hmm. culture, you know, his traditions, he would go if maybe they needed to go to the synagogue at age 12 specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would also go at age 12. So we see that Jesus was following traditions, you know, the cultures of the day, you know, the way they were doing things. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that this culture is wrong. And I think that's where perhaps we are erring on our
okay.
part,
okay.
that we feel, and maybe we are damaged by, like you are saying, the Eurocentric mindset,
mm-hmm.
that no, if you are, for instance, the way I'm wearing my hair, it's a sin, it's wrong. But this is my natural hair. This is my natural, I didn't put weave or any extensions or anything like that. This is my natural hair, you understand? So there is that connotation that certain things are wrong. But if you look at it closely, you see that, but no, man, these are just traditions of men. And can I just quote maybe from Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Mark, in Mark, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's talking to, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're always going against him. They say, no, your disciples did not wash their hands. They did not wash the cups. They did not wash the plates before they eat. But listen, Jesus is saying, you guys, you want to press the issues of traditions over the Bible.
Okay.
Let's find out what the laws of Moses are. And you are always finding loopholes on how you can get around the cultures and the law of God to sort of like now uplift your traditions. So we need to be careful to not make traditions and cultures the law of God. We also need to be careful to understand that God had every intention for us to be in variety. So meaning to say, God had every intention for you to be the color that you are, the black.
Okay.
You know, so God doesn't just like white. And this is why I'm always fighting with the artists on social media that you guys, you are always painting white people in heaven. Where are we? Where are the Indians? Where are other races? Where are other cultures? It's as if it's only you that's going to heaven. That's wrong because the Bible doesn't say so. The Bible says all the cultures will be there. It'll be every tongue, every people, every tribe. God, in our cultures are not a sin. That's what I'm trying to say. They're not a sin, our cultures.
Yeah.
The way we do things, I mean, the Tswanas, we would dance, you know, and we've got the ways of doing things, that is not wrong.
Okay.
But the problem would be if we take it to things like ancestral worship now, you understand now? And we say, no, but this is tradition. That's where now we must draw the line. I hope I've covered what we are trying to do here.
You have, but I think you've raised questions. I think Rosie will also be sharing the same sentiments. And here's where my issue comes through, Maruti. And I'm thinking Rosie, your network, man, is just, it's worrying me. We're having you and then we're losing you. I want you to, Pastor, to just touch a bit on this idea of cultural relevance. To say, where do you draw the line, especially if you're not talking about the issue of worship and so forth, just being culturally relevant, being in tune with the times. And I think last time we met, we addressed some of the people groups, the Amish, the so forth, and how the Mennonites and how they dress and so forth. And when you look at them, they are not culturally relevant in terms of the areas they live in. In their certain corner of the world, they are looking alike and they dress alike. But when you bring them into normal or everyday society, if you will, they stick out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just find out to say, where do you draw the line? Because guess what? Today, we're not wearing long dresses in our culture. That's very rare to do, to find yourself dressing like that. We're not wearing those loose fitting, in fact, with the men, you know, tight pants and tight shirts are the in thing. You know, that's what people must dress like. You know, are you just supposed to then go with that because that's what we're wearing today and you don't want to stick out because here you are dressed like we would say in the colloquial terms, right? Nangu mam white, you know, and you're dressed like that. Because take it or not, I was visiting a particular country recently and you mentioned earlier on about how, you know, this is your natural hair. And I want to put that a pin in there. I know Rosetta maybe might bring this question later on, this idea of how when you read the scripture of 1 Peter last time, and we were saying there, 1 Timothy actually, where he speaks about the idea of braiding and so forth, to say, was that not for white people? Or even forget white people, maybe people with much more longer hair, even if you're looking at the Jewish tradition in that day and age. Yeah. But let's address that a bit later on. Now, I wanted just to say, what would be culturally relevant for us? Because what we think is culturally relevant are the issues that nominal Adventism shuts down. Right, it says no to those kinds of things, and you're out of order, and you're not modest enough. I mean, we spoke about leather. You know, that's the stuff that's relevant today. We talk about lace. That's the stuff that's relevant today. So, are we still relevant, or are we now picking on? No, cultural relativism is what Ellen White wore. That's what our culture is, and that's what's relevant to us. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Can I paraphrase on this one, Ne? Because I don't have the quote offhand, but Ellen White actually writes that you should not be so behind in fashion that you are in the 1900s when it's 2024.
Okay.
I must just maybe look at that quote and read it as it is written. But paraphrasing, she's saying, go with the times, like I said and alluded earlier, that you cannot in this day and age want to wear something that's outdated. In fact, there was a lady, I'm not going to mention where, when I was doing Meals on Wheels, you would often get her clothes and things like that to give to the needy and things like that and food. And this lady actually died and the daughter said we can come and take all the clothes from her closet and we can distribute it. My goodness, Brother Viriri, those clothes were so outdated. They were in the... It was not even vintage. I don't know what it was. You know, some of the people even, and I mean, if somebody looks at this outfit and laughs, then you know that, yeah, this one, you know. So I think that is because, I mean, she never threw anything away. She kept everything from 1960-something even. 1950-something, the 50s, you understand? So I think I think we need to move with the times as we are moving along. And also... The issue of dressing, there's nothing wrong with wearing print. Myself, I don't see anything wrong with wearing print. And in fact, I like my dresses with print because to me, that's Africanicity, if there's such a word. But, you know, because I mean, if you wear your two-piece, okay, let me put it this way, the two-piece, it's just a nice two-piece, you know, a jacket and a skirt, right? Yeah. But the dress, you know, we've got the Ankara. I don't know if you've ever heard of Ankara.
Okay.
It's a type of print that you would find here in Africa, in different countries. In Tswana, we have Leteisi, Kaswana. We call it Leteisi. It's that blueprint that we like, you know. Even in the Tosas, they also have their own attires. And by the way, the men, they can wrap around and look like they're wearing a skirt, the Tosa. And that's fine. That's okay. But like Sister was already saying, that the problem is the two groups, the liberals and the conservatives. The liberals are okay. We can dress it. We can have our prints, you know. In fact, okay, let me finish my points. I know I'm going forward. And then the conservatives will say, no, it's a sin. They make it out to be a sin, actually, which it is not. It is not. Okay, this is what I wanted to say. When I was growing up, I went to church one time and it was culture day in church.
Okay.
And I mean, I grew up, we hear we should not put bangles, jewelry, what, you know, all those things. And then the culture day came and then the vendors were in their vendor clothes.
Exactly.
The Tsonga was in the Tswanas. Everybody came with their traditions and their culture. And guess what? There were beads there and I was now really confused. That, okay, now what do we do? Because this, to me, is a traditional jewelry, if you like.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm small-minded, but to me, it didn't quite gel. And then later I made peace with it. That, but no, but there's nothing wrong with Kyle Charmaine. There's nothing wrong.
But... And I don't want it to make it a dialogue, especially since Rosetta is here, Mfundisi. But I think that's my challenge, yes, right, sir, there, to say when it's, I mean, that's our culture, you see, to wear the necklaces, to wear the earrings, the gold ones and the rings and the bangles and the whatnot. That's our culture, which we are saying from a biblical perspective, you don't need to do that. In fact, it's encouraged to go against that, discouraged to go that route, because the Bible says, you know, jewelry this and take that off and so forth. And we put the verses across. Now, if that's wrong in our cultural perspective, because that's the culture we live in today. And then when we go traditional culture, which, by the way, is not quote-unquote, our culture today, that's yesteryear's culture, which we try to commemorate, mm-hmm, on those specific days. How is that okay, yes, there? Because jewelry in one culture is jewelry across cultures, is it not?
That's exactly my point. That myself, I just had to make peace and say, you know what? Mm-hmm. It is not right. But that was the bone of contention, even for me, that why is it then that we can dress like this? Is God not happy about this? And if we don't wear jewelry when we are white, quote unquote, because isn't it we are adapting the Western, the white, you know, everything Eurocentric, then if we go to culture, why is it not wrong? Mm-hmm. That was what, mm-hmm, my problem was. Mm-hmm. And then what I concluded, like I'm saying, is that, you know what, this is culture. If this outfit comes with the beads, and I mean, it looks very nice with the beads, you know, it comes with the things, then let it be so. Also, someone can argue that even if we don't put the beads directly, you can actually still put the beads on the dresses themselves, on the attire themselves. Is that not then? Is it wrong then if you do it like that? Or should we remove it completely?
Even if you buy a dress with something shiny, Jay, you must remove, Pastor. Take it off. You are now adorning yourself.
Yes, you understand. And in fact, that's how we get away with it, Brother Veriri. Uh-huh. To say we don't wear jewelry, but the dress has this little chain and it's attached to the dress. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep the dress like that. And also, mm-hmm, I think also we cherry pick. Because, I mean, we say jewelry, we should not wear, okay, it. But look, we excuse the watch, which can be costly. Look at, you can wear Rolex. And we say, no, it is functional jewelry. You can also excuse the brooch. It's in fact there. I must just get my coat. But we excuse the brooch to say, no, it's functional because it's keeping the materials together. We excuse your cufflinks and your thing for your tie. What do you call it?
Yeah, that, the tie clip, yeah,
thing that keeps your tie, uh-huh, together. Yes, because we say, no, it is functional. So even there, we must choose a side and stick to it. That's my opinion. If there's no jewelry, then there's no jewelry. But if there is, then hey, because the main thing is the earrings, okay, isn't it? Yeah.
Rosie, what's your take? Rosetta?
I don't really have much to say.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I apologize for my good sketchy. I'm not sure. I have much to say because from birth on, we don't put on jewelry. I think obviously there was those times where I was very curious and I think I pierced my one ear. My friend, yeah, pierced my one ear. But then I was like, this is quite heavy. I don't like it. So I left it like that. So jewelry, I don't really have much to say. Just that I know that we're not supposed to.
But here's the issue then. If you're
put on, I think.
Uh-huh. Oof, Rosetta's line. Okay, let's see if we can try and assist Rosetta there, maybe because we are struggling to hear Rosie. We need to hear you much more clearer. Maybe we can have you joining on our WhatsApp line because we're struggling to quite get you, and we really need to have you in this conversation. So let's see what we can do to get Rosetta back. But Muruti, And we're getting comments on our WhatsApp line. It's just gone 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're still tuned in to Adventist World Radio, SID Media. And we are having this conversation this evening on the Bible Perspective, talking matters pertaining to dress reform with a particular eye on culture, to say what role does it have to play, especially in this westernized approach that we live in today. Are we a Western culture? Are we an African culture? What are we actually today? Can we answer that question definitively? That's a challenge that I think a question we need to answer. And we are addressing this very particular topic, and we want to hear your thoughts, your comments, your views on this idea that we are having on the table. +27 73 470 3520. That number again is +27 73 470 3520. It's a WhatsApp line, so drop us a WhatsApp comment, a voice note on that number. You can even give us a ring, right? Or you can call us directly in studio, +27 12 001 76 7 79. And we have a comment coming through to say, when you were just speaking there, Pastor, to address this idea of, it's almost like you were bringing a sense of whichever rocks your boat, guys, carry on with that. And I think it's a challenge that we might need to really maybe, I don't know, fix and find, is the Bible saying it's that fluent? I mean, fluid? Is it that liquid? Is it that open up for anybody's interpretation? That there is no cut and dry way to approach it. It's just, guys, if you're okay with it, you can go ahead and do it. No one is particularly wrong on either side of the fence. And because the comment is saying here, that's hypocrisy, right? Where you can say, if you are saying no jewelry, but then suddenly you've got the most expensive cufflinks, for example, or the most, yes, you've got tie clips and hairpins and whatnot, and you go get away with this functional jewelry, as it were. Isn't that double standards of the highest order? We can even excuse our glasses. We accessorize them, right? And I'm thinking, okay, so now must we go blind, or must we just get wire rims so that we can put lenses inside? Because the moment you wear a police frame, which now costs 15,000, no, you are now adorning, my friend. You just need lenses that are standard, 2,000 rand, that's fine. The moment you go beyond that bracket, you are now, I don't know, what is it? Is there no direct cut and paste, this is where you must be?
I don't think so, Brother Veriri. Mm-hmm. There is no cut and dry. And okay, you are very correct. Even the sunglasses or just the eyeglasses, I mean, it's made of jewelry. I do believe that when we walk in this journey with God, mm-hmm, we ought to read the Word of God and, you know, take it for ourselves. Okay. You understand? So, for instance, okay, there's a comment here.
Oh, yes, I see.
Oh, and be modest. Okay. Yeah. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you so much, Renee.
No, we are very much for modest. And in fact, let me maybe perhaps address this one quickly, mm-hmm, and then we can move on. If you look in the cultural, or even as traditional, as Black people, ne?
Okay.
Traditionally, in the olden days, the girls actually walked bare-breasted. I don't know if you've ever seen such pictures. And even today,
true,
when the Zulu tribe specifically, mm-hmm, when they are taking their girls to Memulo, where, mm-hmm, they're checking virginity and all those things, those girls, all of them are walking bare-breasted. True. Also, if you look even in the Swati nation in Swaziland, mm-hmm, even their girls also, they walk, true, even, and some of the older women, you know,
do
even some
well
of the older,
yeah,
women.
Yeah.
Yes, they do, they walk very smooth. So I feel this is me, like Paul says, this is me, not the Lord. This is now me, not the Lord.
Okay.
This is me, not the Lord. Uh-huh. That we need to take modesty and the culture, and we need to meet somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
All right. So meaning to say, I wouldn't now walk bare-breasted. I would cover myself.
Okay.
But I'll still remain Black. I'll still remain following the cultures of the day, whatever. But I will use modesty to cover. Modesty is what will cover me to say, okay, now you are okay. Not that now I'm no longer a Black Tswana girl. No, I'm still a Tswana girl, but there is a dress I can wear that represents a Tswana girl. And like I said earlier, that's Leteisi. It's a traditional wear for women. And even my girl doesn't have to walk, and she's 14. She doesn't have to walk bare-breasted when she's wearing traditions. She can wear a vest and a bra inside. So, yes, I do feel like I'm saying that, mm-hmm, I, not the Lord, do feel that we can meet in the middle. You can be a Christian and still follow culture, but that's where it would be. And you are still modest. You understand what I'm saying?
And if you meet somebody, pastor, who has a different approach and doesn't mind going bare-breasted, is that okay for them to then do that?
And if still be modest? That's how they feel.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to point fingers now and say, yeah, you are sinning.
Mm-hmm.
Because you understand now where the bone of contention is, that it's as if she is sinning. But no, it's culture and it's acceptable. Because, I mean, we can also argue, pastor, about...
Is it biblical that this is acceptable?
We can argue.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, in culture, not Christianity. In culture, it's acceptable. In the culture for the girls to walk bare-breasted.
So you were mentioning...
And look even at the boys.
You were mentioning, pastor, sorry to just cut you there. And I want us to maybe make it practical. You mentioned earlier on this idea of Cultural Day, where September is coming, right? Just next month, we'll be having a Cultural Day. And usually on that Sabbath, Culture Sabbath, people come wearing whatever they believe their cultures are and so forth and so forth.
Yes.
So if my culture says bare breast on that day, is it okay that you are my pastor, you're pastoring my local church, and I come like that, the deacons won't have a problem? Because it's culture.
No. We will have to assist you. Find out.
No, pastor.
Yes.
We
have to. Brother, that's why I said, Brother Veriri.
Uh-huh.
I think you missed my point. Uh-huh. I said, we take the culture and modesty and we meet in the middle. That's what I said.
Yeah, but it's still based on preference. Preference was the underlying thing.
No, Brother Viril.
What's the underlying guide then?
I think you missed me somewhere.
What's the underlining guide?
Look,
uh-huh.
The underlining guide is that, like I said, I feel that we can still be cultural and bring Christianity. Because, I mean, you can't come to church with your breasts. Think about it. Let's remove now all the lenses. Let's move the culture lens. Let's remove everything. Let's remove even Christianity.
Okay.
Let's remove all these lenses. Okay. And a person is just coming to church and her breasts are out.
Yes.
You see that's not right.
But they're wearing the cultural outfit. Hey, this is culturally acceptable. Why is that not right?
I understand. Mara, it's not. Because you know what's the problem?
Okay.
I mean, look at even when the mothers are breastfeeding their children.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that there's a problem? People are saying, you cannot breastfeed a child and your breasts are out. Even then,
that's
a
wrong.
Problem.
That's wrong. People have fought. There are cases that have been brought forward legally, and people have been penalized for thinking that that's incorrect, where a mother must now hide themselves because they are breastfeeding. This is a natural process.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to say, pastor, it's by
natural
preference that you can cover up. Or naturally, you can just go and whip it out. That's acceptable in our culture today to do that. It's only by preference to say, no, I want to cover because I want to protect my property. I don't want anyone else seeing. So I'm not seeing why we're thinking when you're wearing culture, if it's acceptable in your culture that you're a young girl and on a particular Memulo day or on a particular reed dance day, you can come and dress like that and that's acceptable, then surely on cultural day, you should be able to wear that. If it's acceptable and you come and worship Jehovah, you, like you said, you're African, and surely he should accept your culture.
Exactly. You know, there was another picture that I saw. Somebody sent it to me. These gentlemen were wearing Pathfinder uniform, right? But they were wearing it with a skirt. The men. And I asked, what's going on here? He says, no. It's their culture.
Okay.
In their culture, the men, they wear skirts. I think it's in Fiji or one of those
Fiji
countries.
Fiji does that. In Samoa, I think, as well.
Yes, yes, the men wear the skirt. So, yes, I hear you, Brother Viriri, but I'm still saying, you know, I don't think that we should let our girls, when we are coming to church specifically, come bare-breasted. Myself, this is me, not the Lord, me. I think that they should wear their little bras and their little vests, and then they can come. I don't think that we should, let them, because I think it gives it gives the idea of, objectification of women. And that's what we are also trying to run away from. I understand that it is culture, but
does culture
myself,
objectify
I think
women?
That they should not.
Does culture objectify women?
No, I'm not saying culture objectifies women. I'm saying now when they're coming
they
to church, because we are used to, can't
get
the context that we're using is church, isn't it?
Yeah, true. But
not necessarily when they are just dancing, doing something.
Okay, Mfunisi, maybe I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to go and maybe assist us to say,
okay,
thank you for your perspective. And I like that you were honest with us to say, this is me, not the Lord.
Yes.
Maybe let's hear, is the Lord saying we can do that? What's the Lord saying about our cultural attire and can we be acceptable in that? And we've got Rosetta back on the line. Rosetta, good evening and welcome. You've been hearing. What's your take? Cultural, are we acceptable? I mean, maybe start it simple. Cultural day. Are you a fan of those where you come wearing your cultural attires? What's your take on that?
Yes. So I'm a firm believer that we should be able to express who we are.
Okay.
In through dress, right? So if I am Zulu, I'm Sotho, whatever. I should actually, for me, I even feel that wearing it every day, it shouldn't be a Heritage Day thing, you know? You should be able to wear that every day because it represents who you are. And I think, obviously, the Western culture, you know, the European culture has sort of obviously taken that away from us a little bit. But I think it's important that you represent yourself. Representation is very important to us as Black people.
Okay. So,
part and parcel. But I think that I think maybe we need to also realize that at some point Christianity, maybe tradition or culture, yes, in the lines of who you are as identity and stuff, it came after we had that was already established. So Christianity came after the whole culture thing was established. So then we had to adopt the new, the Christianity. If you wanted to, you move that word and you had to adopt that, but you found the tradition here. That's the way that, like, that the Mfundisi said, that's the way. I think it's important that we also understand that. Hence, she says, we need to strike a balance between the two. Know how far to go when you are in culture and know how far to go when you are.
And that's the problem, to say, who determines that how far? Where is that line? And I was hoping that tonight, since we are in the Bible perspective, we can say, okay, the scripture says here's where the line is. And we can kind of divide between the two to say, okay, here's where culture you can go and here no more. Because I want us to maybe even go as far as addressing the colors in the culture. Mfundisi was addressing one of the pioneers of the church, Ellen White, and what she's written and how that sometimes is used as a guide in the church to say she's also written on how if you're going to be speaking, especially in front, you want to make sure your colors are not going to be disturbing the eyes. And here in Africa, some cultures, that's what actually distinguishes and makes them more stand out, to say they are the culture with the varying colors. That's what we say, and we celebrate them for that. But here you're not saying, no, but in church, no, not like that. You must pick one, Mizarani, and don't have too many bright colors. So I'm saying we can't be speaking outside of both sides of our mouth. You know, we got to pick a lane and walk with it. And if we're saying, no, Mizarani, black and brown and gray are the colors of the Lord, is the Bible agreeing with that? Yes, let's go with that and drop everything else. And if the culture says, but we are being left out, we say, sorry, you missed the bus. I don't know, Rose.
I don't think that there should be a demarcation or a line to say, okay, don't cross over that. You've done too much. I think also just as much as spiritual journey is very personal. Spiritual journeys are very personal. God doesn't talk to all of us. God doesn't look at us as in, okay, what I'm trying to say maybe is that our spiritual maturity is different. We don't all mature the same way.
True.
I might here and I'm saying I believe in long dresses, anything above the knees is short. And then someone else who's probably has been in Adventism since birth, but spiritually they're just still not there. And they still believe wearing short skirts because spiritually we are different. And I think maybe this is the one point where we can say that maybe this would depend on how you who you are as spiritually as a person, but at the same time understanding that we have standards obviously as a church. Okay, you can do this and do that, but I don't think there's a definite line.
But that becomes a problem, is it not, Rosie? I mean, look at this from this perspective. I like how you're saying it's spiritual maturity is variant, and we're not criticizing you, we're not crucifying you because you're not yet at a particular level. But that already is kind of hinting that there is a level that must be used, right? And we're saying if you're not yet there, we can understand you're still a bit of a child, you're a bit of an immature, you're still growing, right? And we give you that leniency. But we want to at some point come to Hebrews chapter 6 to say, come on, guys, at this point in time, you should have been more adult than you are right now. You should be actually taking the solid food, right, and be weaned from the milk. He's not saying that those who are on the milk are worthless and must be cast out. We're not saying that as well. But I'm saying, what is that line that you're saying we are on different spiritual levels? Because you're saying that already suggests there is a particular spiritual level that says if you're at that particular level, you would be dressing like this. Is that biblical? Because to say that you don't see a problem, I don't deny that. That's your own perspective. I agree, certainly. But surely, is there no word from the Lord, says God? Pastor Bonolo, did you find what the Lord says?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it we read already in Timothy and in Peter about modesty? And I don't know if it's this sister or the other one, already said that your dresses must, you know, be modest. It must be loose. It must hang out so that it doesn't show, you know, your curves and whatever. So if we are taking that verse, and saying this is the precedence that we are going to follow, then surely we cannot walk bare-breasted.
So culture is out, basically.
I understand. We cannot. Yeah, on that one, I still stand.
So you culture is girl, out. Like so said, so if you are me. If you are closer,
on that one,
if you are closer, you're okay. But the moment you become Zulu as a woman, you become Swati, you become Tswana, you can't come culturally dressed to church.
Listen what I'm trying to say. Even in their school, when they had the culture day, there were all those tribes and all the girls were wearing little bras and vests. And I'm talking about school now. I'm not talking about
And I want to broaden
so
the...
Now that's my stance.
Allow me to broaden it a bit further, Muruti, and just move a bit further than just the breasts. And cover...
Okay, yes.
The length of the skirt, especially the tightness, you just addressed that to say that's what apparently modest was defined as from a broader biblical perspective, to say it's actually the length as well. It's also the loose-fitting nature. To say the Tswanas are not wearing, be it either loose nor long, definitely that outfit is neither of those two. The same with the Swati, the same with the Zulu. So then that must not come to church as well.
I understand. Yeah, like I said, that dress, that little skirt, if the little girl is... Pella, remember, everything also goes with age, Brother Beriri. I cannot dress like a 14-year-old. That's why I keep on referencing to my daughter.
True.
She's got her outfit as a Tswana girl. As a married woman, I have my outfit. My outfit as a married woman. Yes, sir.
Are you saying that verse from Timothy, the idea of modesty, is age centric? Are you saying certain ages can use that verse, but others are kind of exempted from it?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay.
We are talking about the culture dress, the culture part.
Uh-huh.
And the cultures, if you look at the way the dresses are or the outfits are, you are very correct. Their skirts are not long. They are maybe just, you know, just maybe four fingers above the knee.
No, that's
right?
Modest. No,
and,
Muruti.
Like I'm saying,
they are maybe four fingers below the waist.
What? What I'm talking about
the
now?
The skirt is four fingers below the waist, not above the knee. they are the other way.
I do get you. But I think, Brother Viriru, you are not hearing me. Listen to what I'm trying to say.
Yes, ma'am.
Akira, we are talking about the issue of bare-breasted and, you know, so what I'm saying is that even in the culture, as much as, you know, you have outfits for an older lady, the youth and whatever, even the dresses are not the same. For myself, even the married woman, even in the culture, Liteisi doesn't show breast. And if you want to be strict, if you want to say, you know what, we follow culture, but you are going to wear Liteisi now. Let's say I'm saying it to my girl. I can make the dress for her and say, okay, here's the dress. It can be, this is the length that we are going to wear, and she'll still be cultural. I haven't changed anything there. I only changed the issue of bare breast, of which even now I still stand.
You stand on that one.
I'm not that one. I don't. I'm not. I'm telling you, even at school when they were having culture, I told her, "Here's a bra, here's a vest. You're not gonna walk around with your breast, my baby." And then she agreed, and she said that you know the boys are gonna be talking about it, and that girl and that guy that has a crush on him now has seen her breast. You understand? Mm. So I understood perfectly. That no, So for me, it's definitely a no. Okay, I think my light. Yeah. Ooh. So for me, it's definitely a no. It's definitely a no. You can still be modest in culture, brother Viru. You can still be modest in culture.
Okay. Let's take a moment. It's 25 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. This year is Adventist World Radio's SID Media. Thank you so much for joining us. It's the Sabbath Welcoming Experience. We do this every Friday, where we go deeper into God's Word and try to understand what it says about the different issues we deal with on a daily basis in our society, in our communities, in our social walks. And today we are covering this idea of dress, and especially from the dress reform perspective. To say dress reform as we know it, especially from a Christian perspective, from an Adventist perspective, is it realistic? Does it have space? Is it not Eurocentric? Is it cultural sensitive? Does the African culture have space in dress reform, or is it by virtue of being African kicked out? And so we want to try and understand that conversation from that perspective. And we are here wanting to hear your thoughts, your comments. I see that the messages coming through on our WhatsApp line. That's +27 73 470 3520. That number again is +27 73 470 3520. You're also finding us streaming live on our YouTube page. That's the SID Media, together with our Facebook page on the same handle. And you can drop us a comment in the chat box, right? Let us know what you are thinking as we go through this conversation. Rosie, if you want to say something, just let us know and we will definitely bring you into the discussion. Can I just take a, some comments that have come through on our WhatsApp line at this point in time? A lot of them are coming through. Our listeners are excited about our discussion. So we have this one here doesn't have a name. I'm sorry. Oh, Andrew saying here, the issue of dress is spiritual. It is always about doing that which is right in the geographical location where one is. Modesty is key. This is Sikana from Mombasa. Thank you all the way from Kenya. We appreciate you joining us, Babu Sikana. Truly appreciate that. But although I have a bit of a question to say, is it spiritual or is it geographical, or is geography spiritual? I'm not too sure, because he says it's about getting in line with the geography, but also he says it's a spiritual matter. I'm seeing a bit of a disconnect there. Maybe he can help us in trying to understand it. Okay, I see someone is trying to call, and we'll get back to you just now. We also have Brother Emmanuel Okwi all the way from Uganda. It looks like we've got quite an international crowd in our listenership today. Brother Okwi says, good evening, Brother Derek and the panelists. Good evening, sir, and happy Sabbath to you. Our church needs serious reforms in this area. Okay. We need reforms, apparently, in this area, right? And then he goes on to say, nowadays, the fitting fashions have become so common in church. Women wear jewelry and do their hair. I mean, there was a time where on a particular day you could see someone, the way they're dressed and the way they are, I'm going to go with clean in quotation marks. They don't have any jewelry on them. You could say, this is an Adventist. Today, you're not sure. Anybody can be anybody, right? However, we Adventists ought to know what God made all of us naturally, or that God made all of us naturally beautiful and attractive, even without these additives, right? We are all radiant in a way. Outward adornment is not so important, and no culture is bigger than the will of God, which has been clearly expressed in his precepts. And I think that's the challenge, Brother Okwi. If you think it's clearly, do you mind just sharing with us this evening what those clear precepts are? Because we've been trying to look at what one of them being the Paul's counsel to Timothy and Peter's counsel to the churches as well. And all they speak about is almost generic stuff if you would look at it. It doesn't go to the clearness, if you will, that we are trying to address in these conversations. So if you've got those clear precepts that you think, this is clear, man, guys, why are we going around in this item? Let's hear, we'd want to hear from you on that one there. And then we also have another comment. This is Zanele saying, let's see here. So earlier on, we were touching on the idea of colors, right? And she was just mentioning, hey, leave the colors alone. Zanele is Tsonga. So is the Shagani. She wears those blues and pinks, you know, and their culture is so vibrant. And like I said, someone says, no, but if you're like that, no, don't distract the people. We're no longer hearing the word. We are concentrating on your colors. So she's like, whoa, guys, don't go there. Don't you even dare go there. she also mentions here how we were touching on, let's pick a middle ground, culture and the Christianity must have somewhere where they meet. And she said, but that's the challenge, right? Your middle and my middle are not the same. So already right there, we have a problem. You're saying the middle means, okay, fine, wear the outfit with some, what do you call those things, the bras. And someone is saying, but no. Me, I'm saying it's no longer 4 centimeters above, below the waist. It's maybe 4 centimeters above the knee. That's my middle. I'm not wearing any bras. That's my middle. And then you're like, okay, but your middle is not my middle. And that's where the challenges come. We also have a comment coming through. Okay, this one here doesn't have a name who wrote it. Hey, okay, we're being rebuked because it says, guys, modesty and culture. Modesty and culture will always clash. What is making it worse is the inspired people telling us what to dress while they are looking at one cultural perspective. Hi, man, let's let the Holy Spirit interpret to each person. So they're saying, yes, you are inspired, but the challenge is you're not from my culture. Therefore, I won't listen to God's inspiration on your behalf. I will wait for God to speak to me in my personal space, which already is a problem because the whole Bible, isn't that the whole idea? The Bible is inspired and totally a different culture. Why are we then willing to listen to it if we can't listen to somebody else who's inspired? If we're saying no inspiration unless it comes direct, then let's discard everything, right? But again, that's now another conversation we're going into. So those are the comments that came through. I don't know what your take is. Maybe let's start with Rosetta. Rosetta, you heard the comments. What's your take? And maybe do you have something to add on?
I hear what the brother is saying, but I don't hear maybe they will clash. But I think I'll still stand on the point that we need that middle ground. We need the balance of like what Umfundis is saying. We'll say there is a balance. You just need to see it the way that we are seeing it.
We who?
There is a balance.
Who balanced this balance? Because like one, Zanil actually is the one who said, guys, your middle and my middle, my balance and your balance is not balancing.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's why I made the point of your relationship with God as an individual. And your maturity and how far you've come and all of that.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I speak to you as a person. If you, and it's unfortunate, if you find that, okay, I can just wear a bra and not put on a vest, if this is my balance.
But like I said, what if my balance is no bra? I'll get my skirt to be a bit longer. That's my balance.
I think in as much as we are striking balance, maybe there should be guidelines for these balances.
Thank you. That's what I've been looking for. And that guideline must be scriptural. And if the scripture is silent, would it be not wise of us to then let people do as they will and not even have this conversation? There's no reform needed.
But we can't say there's no reform needed because otherwise then I can just bring a net with nothing.
Now you're getting it. Now you're getting it.
it's a bit of a difficult one because we are different and we respond differently and we react differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do need that. I think that that guideline that says, okay, fine. If you're wanting to strike a balance, it's the basic things. Your boobs are not supposed to show.
That's cultural. You're speaking as a westernized lady, Rosie. You're speaking as somebody who's grown up in a culture where boobs must never be shown. If you go and speak to that to somebody who's, that's their everyday life, they're not going to be speaking the same language as you. Unfortunately not. Muruti, what's your take?
But
okay, sorry, before you come in, Rosie.
I just want to throw in a comment there that says, I think one of the elders of the church always says this, that when you get to Rome, you do as the Romans do. I think that's what we've adopted with Adventism. But now we're just trying to find identity. Maybe we need to acknowledge the fact that we've taken it. We've adopted it. So at the end of the day, I can't say my balance is no bra. I need to find a balance that works with what I've adopted.
But even Adventism is fluid, is it not? I mean, the things that are happening in China are not happening in Thailand, are not happening in Europe, are not happening in the islands. It's different in every area. And there are some things that are common, but some of the things are as per culture dictates.
Yes, I hear that. There's people who are wearing skirts. If you as a man came with a skirt in our church, that would definitely be frowned upon. Look, remember, I sent you a picture of a woman wearing pants with a dress on top. I'm like, maybe I should come to church dressed like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then that would definitely be frowned upon because of, I guess, in comes the geographical area and the spirituality and finding. It's all about the balance. I think I'm about works with where you are and who you are in spirituality, because you know that God
and
you
thank
not
you so much. That's the point I'm trying to drive at, Rosie, to say, you know what, if you want to wear pants, if you go to a certain cultural space, there is a church that's wearing pants, especially the more European you go, the more Western you go. You will find pants with those, sometimes with a jacket over, like the pastor was mentioning the last time. And if you want to wear that skirt as a man, there's a church that caters for that with that geographical area, right? There is the people that caters for that. The problem comes to Africa, where the African is not accepted in Africa. Where should the African then go? That's a problem. Muruti, I don't know. You heard the comments from the listeners?
Okay.
Yeah, and then...
Yes. Okay, now I'm hearing what you're trying to say, Brother Virir. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what? Then, hey, I have this... Okay, let me first speak about the colors. Né? I personally, again, me, not the Lord, I believe that all the colors, there's nothing wrong with wearing those colors, especially as a Tsonga, as you know, as a whatever you are, you can wear those colors. So my take on the colors is that you can wear the cultures. Also, what we must also remember, God had every intention to have variety. I mentioned it earlier. So God doesn't want us to all be white. Otherwise, he would have made us all to be white.
Yeah.
And that would have been okay. The problem, like you are saying, is that now we have baptized whiteness as if that's the most correct.
True.
And culture is not. And I think that is what what we've been grappling about all this time. That, okay, how far is how far is too far?
Yeah.
For instance, I know a preacher who was preaching in a certain church wearing cultural outfit. Just, you know, pants and a top.
Okay.
But it's for men.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to him, you will not be preaching wearing that. And, you know, they forced him to wear a jacket, and they forced him, and somebody even went to go get a tie for him, and he refused to wear the shirt because his argument was exactly that, that how is this wrong? But a tie and a suit is right.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand perfectly what you are saying, that, you know, I think, you know, we need to come to a place where we know that God loves us the way we are.
True. True.
God loves us and made us the way we are. We should not self-hate and hate ourselves and say, no, we should do it. You should do things this way. You know, we shouldn't, you know, dress this particular. So for me, in fact, if you look at every church I go to, I'm very intentional in wearing an Ankara dress because that's what I identify with.
Okay.
It's very rare that I wear a two-piece because a two-piece is not for me. That's not my dress. My dress is a traditional dress, and I've made it over the years a conscious decision to say, this is how God has made me, and I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to wear the Ankara dress.
But like, it's easy for you to say, I mean, as ladies, I think there's a bit of a wiggle room. For a man, it's you must wear a jacket, a collar shirt with a tie. If you deviate from that, at best, maybe they might accept a Chinese collar. But the moment you go African and try to be, you must be well respected that we can accept you. But if you're a no name, they're going to give you a shirt and a jacket you can be. In fact, other churches,
exactly.
Muruti, have got a budget. In the vestry, they've got jackets and ties that are waiting for preachers who are not dressed properly.
Exactly. Very correct. Also, yes, you are very correct. Even the dukes for the ladies, so that they cover their hair and all those things. I know those churches.
Yeah.
And listen, there was another girl who came. I invited her to come to church with me, and we went. It was in Pretoria, and she was wearing jeans. You know, the other ladies made her feel so bad, and I had to rebuke him. That no, guys, this is a visitor. She doesn't yet see how you guys do things here yet.
Yeah.
So we gotta give her a chance so that, you know, she looks. But it's not that it's a sin. You get what I'm trying to say? In her world, she was okay in that outfit. She was coming to Jesus as she was, and now we made her feel bad. So I'm hearing your point that we are made to feel bad to be Africans, and I think that is in fact what we are trying to rectify. To always go to churches saying I'm coming as myself and I'm an African, and we ought to be proud to be Africans. But let me also still mention that there is still that thing of bare breast. That one I don't accept. I'm sorry. That one I'm triple sorry.
We've got our Kenyan brother Sikana, all the way from Mombasa. I remember we had asked him to give us what that balance was. And he says, as long as one does not make the other stumble, being mindful of the culture where one is. And I think that may be the key. But the issue comes when you're a visitor. So whose culture must be the one that becomes dominant? If I'm a visitor in your church, and where I come from, women can come in bare-breasted. Right. And then in your culture, you don't accept that. Whose preference must take precedence? Is it the visitors and we must accept them the way they are? Or is it the local churches, the geographical area? And or do we say, no, we are weaker brethren. Please respect us. And so we cover you and we put something that you're uncomfortable in so that at least worship can go on. It's better one stumble and fall than the whole church to fall. I don't know. Help us draw that balance, Muru, to say, which one is better here? You're a visitor in an area. You had packed only this because that's what you thought the culture you're coming from was acceptable in church. You're wearing pants. You're wearing jeans. Whose preference must be accepted?
You know, also you don't want to hurt a person, especially when they want to surrender their lives to Christ. All right, I think for that day, leave that visitor, befriend them, love them, and start teaching them. That is what my take would be. Don't make someone feel uncomfortable. Accept them and explain to the church that we do have a visitor. We're still going to be, teaching the way we do things here, and then you take it from there. The last thing you want to do is to hurt somebody coming to church and tell them that they are wrong to be black, because that is in essence what we would be saying, that this is your culture, now we are saying you are sinning, of which is not right. That's not right. We are not sinning to be the way God has created us.
We are not sinning to be the way God created us. Rosie, what's your take?
A quick question. I don't think offending that visitor is avoidable. You can't avoid it. Because first, they walk in bare-breasted in church. And we say, no. It's first, they're giving themselves to Christ. Let's let them be. But believe me, they will not be comfortable because everyone will be looking. Everybody, imagine sitting and everyone is looking at you. So one way or the other, I think they will get hurt. I think maybe we should just work with the lesser evil, cover them up.
So if in your culture something is a bit extreme, then you can kind of address it. But if it's not too way out, then maybe you can kind of tolerate it for the days. Is that what you? Okay.
That's the point I'm
trying to make. All right. Kwada Munyumzarane, who is so excited by the pastor saying, personally, she feels it's okay. Uti, can I just please be invited to preach? Color blocking is coming up and you'll all be looking at me the whole service. Thank you so much, ladies. And I think we're drawing towards the close. But I'm still stuck here, a pastor, and I think maybe this was the gist where Rosetta was coming from to say, We've been opinionating a lot, and we've been giving preferences. We've been giving good lessons, and then no harm done there. And then I'm not castigating anything. Of course, we need the lesson, but I'm still yet to hear, thus saith the Lord. Are we then to say in this matter of dress, there isn't a clear thus saith the Lord? It's just cultural norms and what goes around in your society. We can then work with that. Is that what I'm supposed to hear? We've got a voice note that come in. We are going to see if we can try and Mzalani sent a mixtape. We're going to see if we can play the mixtape just now. But that's my challenge, Pastor, that we're not having actual guidance. And I'm hoping that after the voice note, we can have at least one or two verses that we can say, this is actually what we can work with and God will be. So there is no standard. There is no, except for just modesty out of 1 Timothy. Let's listen to at Tapelo underscore Moloi SA as they have sent through a word here to try and guide us as well in this conversation.
Hi, Derek, and hi to your beautiful guests. I don't know if that's culturally correct to say that, but yeah, greetings to you and your listeners as well. I think we need to approach this matter from a principal point of view, right? For example, I'll quote, must be the book of Deuteronomy, 22 verse 5, but I'm sure the pastor knows it better than me, which actually talks about, you know, a man shall not wear that which pertaineth to a woman and vice versa, right? From there, just there, we can already learn what the principle is, right? So in my deduction, the principle is that there should be a difference between a man and a woman, right, in how they dress or adorn themselves, and what it is that pertains to a man and what it is that pertains to a woman. Perhaps that's now where culture then comes in, right? So we need to approach, I think, this thing from a principal point of view. The principle is that there should be a difference between a man and a woman, at least from what I get from that verse. And secondly, which I think has also been touched, is that the clothes that we as Adventists seem to accept for worship or coming to church, those clothes in and of themselves are actually a culture, right? Like you all have said, which is European in this particular instance. So we need to then get to a point where the SDA African Church finds one or other way to actually contextualize what it means to dress as an African who is a Seventh-day Adventist. So we've imported to a large extent what is European in terms of dress and other things as well. But in this context, what is dress? We've imported that and we've made that the standard, right? And thirdly, okay, I would say we need to understand why we should be dressing in a certain manner and why we don't dress in a certain manner. So I'll make an example. Although in our culture, we dress...
I'm not too sure what happened to Babu Moloi there. Let's see what happened and see.
Dress in a certain way. It's always contextualized as well to the type of event that one is going to. So we cannot equate an event where it's umhlanga, for example, to an event where kwamkelwa bomkhwenyana. Those are two different events. They require two different types of traditional attire, which speaks to the context of that particular event, right? So we then need to then say, okay, in the context of the church, what is the right attire? And what is the purpose of that attire in that particular context? Because we can't just be taking things that we should be wearing outside of a church and then, you know, then doing that. And then in the same vein, we need to think about how the angels of God, at least as per what the Bible is trying to paint for us, adorn themselves when they come to worship God. You know, there's a certain way in which they position themselves. There's a certain way in which they stand or sit or clothe or cover themselves, or whatever. There is a certain way. So we need to contextualize that. And lastly, I would say that, guys, let's not make it semantical, right? In the sense that orange in and of itself, it's a color, perhaps created by God, if you want. There's nothing inherently evil about green. Nothing inherently evil about yellow or red or whatever the case might be. We need to then say, okay, what is wrong with red and white? The purpose, right? What is wrong with red and white? What does it do? And where does it now cause a little bit of challenge for us? I think let's approach it that way. Maybe it will help. I don't know if I make sense.
All right, that's Brother Moloi there speaking to us, and he made some valid points to say, let's not make mountains out of molehills in some of these issues. Maybe you can respond, ladies, but perhaps let's start with, or rather let's have a focus. One thing that I think we want us to just address a bit more is this event approach that the brother brings in to say, if you're going to be going to a particular event, surely the event must dictate how you dress, and the way people dress when they go to that event, must that then make it acceptable, that the norm there, or can there still be a line that kind of goes through to say, yes, people dress like this, but me, I'm still a Christian, and so I will dress like this. And I think we touched on this one a bit in the previous conversation, to say, even if I'm going to be going to the gym, does that now mean, yes, every day I'm modest and I'm what, Mamuruti, but when it comes to the gym, then suddenly things are hanging out, or when I go to the swimming, then those things which are private on a regular day and in God's presence, suddenly now they're no longer private, because guys, it's at the beach, come on now, I can't be modest at the beach. Let's just maybe touch on that as well, but I want to hear your thoughts. Maybe let's start with Rosette and then come to the pastor as we quickly address this one, because we've got less than 10 minutes, and then we must also address some other points that are coming through on our WhatsApp line.
I think it's important that we are consistent. Consistency is key in everything. So in as much as I think it's important that, I think it's important for us to understand who we are. Again, I repeat the same thing. At the end of the day, it's about who you are as a person.
Okay.
And in that, within that, you are able to find a position. I think, yes, maybe we can, going back to the issue of the guideline, you can have a guideline that says, you know, Ellen White gave us a guideline, right? But that was very, very, very Western, right? I think there should be a guideline that can either be done by local churches, do it, maybe even the general conference, maybe it's something that needs to be taken to that. But then again, when you understand who you are and what your the Bible says about modesty and how you understand, you perceive what modesty is, but not being subjective towards the definition. Mission still stands. If you go to the Bible says you must be modest. You go to Google and Google tells you modesty is covering up. You can't then now come and say, oh, but modesty for me is being bare-breasted. See, that's subjective as well. It's about so applying intelligence to it and if you really, really, really want to find a safe space. Because I think sometimes most of these conversations, they stem from a defensive part of us where we don't want to accept that we can't wear short things at church, really. So we try to fight maybe to either, you know, it's something I also was asking myself today. Is it because that I don't, I love leather, you know? And am I going on and questioning because genuinely I don't
that's where your heart is, yeah,
right? Or is it because it's just a defense mechanism because I don't want hard to let go? It's just as good as a sin. It's hard or bad habits. It's hard to let go, and it's something that you have to learn and pull yourself through and work hard to try and get to the finish line. But there's no way you can blur the lines. The Bible says it's very strict about nakedness, and it says you shall not be naked. Nakedness is being shameless and all of that. And you go and you're like, okay, fine, nakedness, no nakedness is modesty. What is modesty? Google tells you, and dictionaries, intelligence tells you what modesty is. You take that and you find your balance. You see, that's what I was saying, that there might not be a solid line that says here is the balance. But I think those definitions and what the Bible says, that's enough balance for everyone.
And we're stuck there, right, Rosie, to say, what is it that the Bible is saying? I mean, Tapelo was speaking about principles, right, and how this is where we must lay our foot down on, to say, okay, we'll start from this. It is the scriptures that has given us principle. And I think the pastor did a very good job the last time we were here of explaining what that scripture is, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. And he spoke about it as well now, to say, it's just demarcating to say, at least at the very bare minimum, the one should not wear what belongs to the other. But then again, culture has said, yeah, wait a minute. I mean, we used to believe that pink was a female color, was a feminine color, right? If you wore pink, you were a woman. But today, pink is the new black, right? And men wear pink everywhere. So,
and I even that is far-fetched. Let's not even go into pink being, let's just go back, right, back straight back to Fiji. In Fiji, everybody wears skirts.
Forget Fiji. When the scripture was given, everyone was wearing robes, but you could still tell what the difference was, right? So how do you even differentiate? I guess in every culture, you can tell this is for a lady, this is for a man. But then, like you're saying, culture is fluid, culture is dynamic. What is lady today? Give it 10 years, it's unisex. Or better yet, it's, yeah, you know? And so I think that's where the challenge is. I mean, we got Tapelo coming back to say, you were speaking about guidelines, Rosie. That's where the challenge is. There is no consensus on guidelines. You cannot have everyone saying, we accept this guideline. It'll always be somehow restricted by certain lines. Ooh, my time is out, and I've got someone who's trying to call. I want to give them just a few seconds. Pastor, before you come in, maybe let's quickly just do that. We've got here comments that have come through on our WhatsApp line. Maybe let me just read those quickly before we then go to our comments that have come through on our WhatsApp line. Before we get to the call, rather, I beg yours. We've got here Brother Andrew. Yes, Brother Andrew saying, for the visitor, we had one in my local church, and the deaconry quickly went to give them a chitenge, right? That cloth that wraps around. All because they wore a jean. I think that was extreme on the part of the deaconry. The visitor almost left. This was during a crusade even. Oh my. Our pastor corrected the issue by instructing that people need to be given time. Happy Sabbath and stay blessed. Thank you, my brother, and thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate you, Brother Okwi. I want to say that when we accept Christ, our transformation should be complete. As Adventists, we have a culture too, and we should strive to adhere to what pleases Jehovah. In my tribe, in Uganda, there is no special dress for us. However, my view is that the culture of Adventism must override the earthly one. And that's the question, Brother Okwi. What is that Adventist culture? I wanted to quickly maybe take this quick call. The brother has been trying to get a hold, and I really apologize, caller, that we have been struggling also to call you back on our side. And I want us to just quickly touch on your points as you come in. Okay, there we go. As you come in, and I hope that you will forgive me for not giving you too much time. But as we wrap it up, we've got a few minutes to go. If you still have something burning, do share it with us. +27 73 470 3520. That number again is +27 73 470 3520. And let's just hear your final words, your final comments as we go into this conversation. Talking dress from a cultural lens, do we have a place, or is anything African, as has always been taught in Christianity? At the moment, it's African, it's bad, and must be cast away, it's barbaric, it's without God, and so forth. Prepare your last comments, Pastor, as we then come back. We've got the caller on the line, Mr. Seko. Good evening to you. Apologies, I'm going to give you just 2 minutes, and I hope you'll be able to make your point. Apologies, I saw your call coming in earlier. I just couldn't take it at the point in time, but welcome to the conversation.
Thank you, Brother Veriri. Thanks for having me. It's been an interesting discussion listening.
Thank you so much.
I have a question. There's been the word culture used a bit. You know, we've thrown around the word culture a lot during this conversation. And I was just wondering, you know, culture by definition is a set of ideas, customs, or, you know, the way of life of a particular group, right? So if we define that as culture, Can we then not say that as Seventh-day Adventists, we in and of ourselves are
a
peculiar people? We have our own culture. And so if we invite people into our culture, and yet we want to behave and dress like their cultures, are we not depriving them of the opportunity to experience our culture? Because what you are now having is that we have left different sets of cultures to come and partake in this culture that we have now chosen. You know, it's by way of spiritual birth, we chose to associate with this culture. But it seems as if we are not proud of our culture. And whether you are reading Timothy or you are reading the verse that says you are a peculiar people, it speaks to culture. We have counsel in the form of Ellen G. White, our mothers, our fathers. Why aren't we proud of our culture?
I think
the only problem that I have, is, you know, if you go and visit other cultures, so whether you are you are visiting a Zulu dance read, where the ladies are naked and I rock up there in my suit, remember, I'm coming into their culture to experience their culture. They don't strip me naked when I'm a visitor and say, no, you must now become like us. Because I'm here, I'm visiting, I'm here to experience your culture. I'm not a part of it, I'm just there to experience it.
Okay.
So obviously I'm anti it when we have people visiting our church and we want to integrate them into our culture. They are not a part of us.
They are visiting.
We'll integrate them when they choose to become a part of us. Likewise, we are also not forced when we visit other cultures. In my last 30 seconds, because you only gave me 2 minutes. In the last one, I just want to say, guys, we know the motive when we're going to church. We have ladies that just want to look sexy. We have gentlemen that go with the intention, you know, of dressing in tight things. And sometimes they have a holy awakening. And a holy awakening there by the most holy place does not give you a warning sometimes. Now you are wearing these tight pants. The holy awakening is happening. It becomes uncomfortable for you and those that are looking at you. So, you know, guys, modesty is there. Let's appreciate it. It's part of this SDA culture. And ladies, help us, especially us who stand in the forefront, whether we are singing or we are preaching. You make it difficult for us, you know, in the shortness of things and in the revelation of things. Let the revelation stick to the book of Revelation. The other revelations, have them in your own sanctuary with your husband in private. You know, don't make it difficult for us. Usually the tighter the clothing, the looser the heart. Let's help each other out, Basalwane. Happy summer. Thank you.
Wait, before you go, Ashley. We have a comment, and that's the sentiments you shared just as you were bringing across the idea of this culture that you're saying we've been talking about. Brother Okwi, Brother Emmanuel, all the way from Uganda, also shared the same sentiments to say, as Adventists, we have a culture. And I think I'm struggling to grasp that. Maybe if you speak culturally loosely in broader terms, maybe we can accept that. But when it comes to the conversation of the evening, speaking to culture in terms of dress, do we have a culture as Adventists? Because like we were saying, and I think Rosetta made the point earlier on, when you visit other nations, Adventism has been kind of integrated into the dress culture of the region. In Fiji, they will wear like Fiji. If you go to the Indians, they will wear like Indians when they do their Adventism. When you go to other places, even here in Africa, you can kind of sense that this is an Adventist church in a particular space. But more south you go, only on Heritage Day do we see culture coming out in terms of dress. What is Adventist culture in terms of dress? I don't think we've got that. We've got what people argue about to say what we have is Eurocentric. Is that Adventist culture?
I think we have culture, and it's a culture of modesty. That's what we have. Unfortunately, if you are narrow-minded, you will think that modesty is wearing a suit and a tie.
Okay.
Modesty goes beyond a suit and a tie. There is a way of being modest in our own African attire, so to say. We have our own taste of clothing and colors that define who we are, but that and even within that definition of this is a resemblance of an African through attire and color. In the midst of that, there is also a lack of modesty in that, and we know how to make that distinction. There is a lady that can wear what you call an African attire, very nice. It covers what it needs to cover and fits within the definition of modesty. So the yardstick always remains modesty. It's like in school. You know, we went to school. And schools promote a culture of modesty in uniformity. But we always had those ladies that would want to deviate from the uniformity. They would still be wearing what is known as a uniform. But as you said earlier on, it's four fingers below the waist.
Below the waist, yeah.
You know, they still call it a uniform. It's still gray. It's still blue. It matches whatever the others are matching. Are wearing, but it's different when it comes to the length. It's different when it comes to the size. It's different when it comes to the tightness. And those elements of size, tightness, and length, and width, and what, that is then the yardstick of modesty. So you can discard this Eurocentric view that our fathers have been forced into, right, and discard the suit and we deal with African attires and our way of dressing. And even in that, there would still be
the idea of modesty.
Of modesty, etc. Because our culture is a culture of modesty.
Well noted, well noted. Thank you so much, Brother Ashley, and thank you for the comments. A happy Sabbath and good evening.
Happy Sabbath to you.
Thank you so much. There we have it. 200S for revelations. Okay, so bon. Ladies, I'm going to then give you an opportunity for final comments. Let's start with Rose, and then we come to the pastor, and then you can pray with us, Rosetta, after the pastor has spoken. Rosie, what's your take? Rosetta? Okay, she is muted. Let me see if I can get her back on. Let's maybe go over to the pastor. Pastor Marx, take us through. You heard the comments. You heard everything that has happened.
Yes.
What would be your closing wrapping up there?
When you browse through the Bible, actually, there are a lot of times where God speaks about garments, you know. And the first time we actually hear about garments or clothing is after sin, right? And God, because remember, these people were dressed with the righteousness of the Lord. And after sin, after they fell, God had to make clothes for them to cover their naked. Because what was the problem? They said, we are naked. Adam says, I heard you come and I'm naked. So I'm not going to come in your presence because I know I'm naked.
Yeah.
So God says, okay, I have a solution. And he comes and he covers. So in modesty, for both men and women, we must cover our nakedness.
Okay.
I mean, there was another preacher who was preaching online, and I said to him, preacher, I didn't hear a single word you were saying because you are dressed in a vest and I'm looking at your arms and your muscles. So I didn't hear you, what you were trying to say, because the whole time I'm looking at. So modesty is not only for women, even
true,
the men.
True.
And I said straight up, I didn't hide it. I didn't sugarcoat. I said, I didn't hear anything because I was looking at your arms the whole time, that are muscles. All right. So we need to cover our nakedness. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
Whether we are in culture, whether we go wherever, we need to cover our nakedness. That's the first thing that I want to say. And then the second thing that I want to say is that God, like I in fact said even in previous times, and I think our brother even Tapelo even alluded to that, that it also depends on where you are going. But even where you are going, you still have to be modest. Because remember, you are not, you are a child of God. That is what you must remember. In fact, if we want the yardstick or if we want a measuring tape, then this is it. You are a child of God.
Okay.
If you are a child of God, is it okay as a child of God to dress like that? And if the answer is no, then you change the
discard
outfit.
It. Okay.
Get rid of it. Get something that shows that you are a child of God. So that is how we are to measure, to say, okay, is this okay? And as to culture, I believe wholeheartedly that we can be cultural and still be modest at the same time. So those are my closing remarks.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Truly appreciate your time as well this evening. Let's hear then from Sister Mpofu. Rosie?
I think this is where we're trying to drive down to the balance and find that line. I think Ashley laid it out very well.
Okay.
I think that would be the guideline, that would be the line. That would be the balance. That would be the balance. Our own culture, that is modesty, and what modesty actually is. The nice thing about the truth is that it's objective. Whatever your opinion that is apart from that is now either subjective or it really doesn't matter. What matters is what is objective and what God has. So I think, I'll end there.
All right. No, thank you so much. So the culture for Adventism, which
also,
is what?
Brother Veriri, can I just say something quickly? I know our time is up.
Okay.
Even when God was giving instructions to the Israelites and even the priests, they were given strict measurements on how they are to dress. The effort, it had its measurement, it had its color, it had everything. So God is specific in wanting us, when we approach him, that we must be covered.
We must be covered when we approach him. Thank you so much for that. And I think if I'm hearing well, that culture of modesty, and I hear Tapelo still saying, but what is that? Let's not talk broadly. What is it actually? Can I then give us homework? And thank you so much for joining us. But we want to leave you with this homework. We've meandered, we've gone here and there, but we're coming back and we're saying this is the focal point. This is where we're wrapping it up at. it's about modesty. And if you're wondering, what is that? Yours and mine is different. No, we're not using yours and mine. Let's discard that. What is God's idea of modest? Can you go home? Take that scripture. Conduct a study. See what God has to say to you. Leave your heart out. No, we don't want to hear your opinion anymore. Let's hear what God is saying. And you go home and take on what God is saying. Thank you so much for joining us. Rosie, please pray for us as we wrap it up.
Let's pray. Dear God, watch me, and thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath that you've blessed us with yet again, rest, and the privilege to come on this platform, Father, to speak about how you want us to dress, not for ourselves, Father, but for the sake of your, for ourselves as well, but mostly for the sake of your children that are looking at us. When you are trying to preach the word out to them, Lord, that it may be presented in a good manner that you would be proud of. Father God, now as we're about to depart, help us, Lord, that whatever we've learned during this session, Father, whatever we've heard, that our hearts may soften a little bit or soften, God, so that we may accept what is objective and what is set apart for us, Lord, to take, and that whatever it is that we might be fighting with ourselves, Lord, our opinions, our ideas, Lord, that we may start to shed those ideas, Lord, and go towards accepting what you've set apart for us, Father. May your will be done above everything else. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, ladies. May God bless you and happy Sabbath.
Thank you, Brother Viriri. God bless you. See you next time.
Amen and amen. And that's how we're going to be wrapping it up, my dear friends. Thank you so much for joining us. I truly appreciate your coming through and just spending the evening with us right here on Adventist World Radio SID Media. That's been our conversation, focusing on culture in terms of the dress conversation, right? And the bottom line, like you heard, it's about what God wants. May you go home and implement that. Have a pursuit of the heart of God. My name is Derek, and it's been a pleasure to be in your company. I'll tell you again next time. May God keep you. May God bless you. And don't forget, like we always do, we want to remind you that the Sabbath hours should not be wasted away in sleep. Oh, so much good is waiting to be done. Surely you can engage in some of that. To you, our listeners who were tuning in, be it on the stream, Adventist World Radio, SID Media, on whatever platform, Iono, Streamer, Radio Garden, Simple Radio, you name it, we appreciate you. Or you were tuning in via the stream on Facebook, on YouTube. God bless you, and thank you so much. And forget to share it with others. We want to hear, keep the conversation going on our social spaces, the SID Media, across all the platforms. We want to just continue that. And what, of course, you've received here on the Bible Perspective, it's sufficient. Therefore, we encourage you, go with that. God bless you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.